Hey there, welcome to the Cami Pentecost Podcast. Let's talk about leadership, business, life lessons, and everything in between.
Well, I'm super excited to have the privilege to interview you today, Luke Wren. And I'll just say for our viewers, our listeners, that we met by chance, and I don't think anything happens by chance, at the Ritz-Carlton Beach Club. We both were there on a Sunday with family. You were with your family, your beautiful daughter and your wife. I was there with some girlfriends, and I mean, hundreds of people around the pool. And how that day, I mean, I love it. And I'm so excited to be interviewing you today, especially once I got to know you and learned all that you're into. Real quickly, before I let you say anything, I want to make sure our listeners know you are a thought leader, an international speaker, coach, and entrepreneur, and I'm sure so much more. So we're going to dive into that, but welcome.
Thank you so much, Cami. And I agree with you. Nothing happens by accident. And I believe energy is the number one commodity, and that like attracts like, right? Mm-hmm. When people are coming with the right intention, the right energy, and just doing great things out there, I believe things come together. And so grateful we met on that day and continue to stay in touch and look forward to for a very long, long time. So glad to be here with you and your listeners.
Awesome, awesome. Well, okay, so my past is 16 years in business. I was a school teacher before that. Got into a home-based business just to be home when my babies were little, and the thing exploded. You know, not only did I replace my income at the time, but holy moly, I was making more in a month than I was making in multiple years at a time. And I was just like, whoa, this business thing is for me. And actually, I learned, Luke, that I was teaching and coaching just on a different platform,
100%. You know?
So I was using all those gifts that I felt like God put me on this earth to do just on a bigger platform. And so I'm wildly passionate about people who are in business, women in business, because women juggle so much as moms and wives and leaders, but also just, I love what you said about energy, because I think energy plays such a significant role in our success in anything we do. But you really speak a lot on leadership, sales, performance, and culture, all of which every listener here is going to be intrigued by and leaning into and learning more about, no matter where they're at in their journey. So can you start by just kind of giving us a bit of a background about you? Tell us who Luke is and a little bit about how you got where you are right now.
Yeah, well, I'll kind of compress it and try and hit the big points to not take 60 minutes to just tell you the story. I'll give you the 5-minute version and ask what you want from there. You know, I think it's always great. I love that you asked this question, because to everybody out there, it's easy to see and go, oh, well, Cami's story is amazing, or Luke's story is amazing. And I would tell everybody before I even share my story is, be proud of your story. That's the one thing that makes us all unique. And so as I share it, you know, I don't believe I'd be here today if when I was, the first 7 years of my life, I watched my grandfather, Charles Leffler, just struggled with cancer, right? Just, he always had cancer, in and out of the hospital, different things like that. And I remember he was a very religious guy. And on he passed away when I was 7. And I remember on one of the last times I saw him, in the final week he was alive, he just squeezed my hand and he just said, Lucas, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Mm-hmm. And it just hit me. I can't say at 7, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with my life. I'm still trying to figure that out at 42, right? I always laugh when we're trying to put the pressure on kids at 18, 25 to figure out life. I'm like, I'm still figuring it out day by day, right? And I hope everybody hears that out there. You don't have to have it all figured out. You figure it out day by day. You plan, but you figure it out day by day. And I just became obsessed at 7. I remember it'll date me a little bit, but I bought a Jack LaLanne chair workout book, and I was listening to Born in the USA, the cassette tape of The Boss, Bruce Springsteen. Some of the younger listeners probably, who's Bruce Springsteen? You got to look it up. He's The Boss, right? And we actually had cassette tapes. You didn't just click a button on your phone and listen to anything in the world. You had to flip it over and flip the tape and use these Walkmans and things like that. And from that point on, I just wanted to help everybody. And I told everybody, like, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And I remember I just kept saying that over and over and over again. I didn't know where it was going to go. I'm 7 years old and I'm trying to help everybody with their health and learning about health and, you know, reading Jack LaLanne. It's not like today, the resources we have on nutrition and health and everything, you know, people thought you were crazy, right? And then let alone be 7 or 8. But I just had this natural, energy pull to just, I wanted to help people. I didn't want to see people suffer. You know, I watched my grandfather do that and it just had such an impact on me. And I had this piece when he did pass away that I'm like, you know, and I watched some people, you know, go, gosh, you know, he's gone, you know, what? And I'm just like, he's going to live within me the rest of my life. He's made a big impact on me. He gets to live through me. And sometimes people go, well, Luke, how do you handle somebody passing away? So I don't wish anybody I ever loved to pass away or anybody I don't love to pass away. But I look at the best way we can honor somebody that we cared for and loved for so much is to take the part of them that we admired so much and loved so much and embody that within us and let them live forever through us and share that with others and let them carry it on beyond us. You know, because I think it's so important. We can live forever if we impact others in a positive way.
And I feel like our podcast could go a whole new direction just on that comment alone. Sorry, I'll let you keep going, but that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So why I take a couple minutes on that is that was just a major part of my life. And then, I started working when I was 7. I grew up old school, small town, 300 people, Howard Lake, Minnesota. And we grew up poor in money, but rich in love. I mean, I'm blessed to have two of the most incredible parents in the world, Fran and Char. And, but we grew up, you know, money was very tight when we were little. You know, my dad worked 2 jobs, slept 2 hours a day for 2 years. We had train tracks in the backyard. We had one of our rooms in the basement had a dirt floor, but I never thought of us as not having money or poor because we were so rich in love. And we're raised in faith and the fundamentals of the good book about work hard and do good things and treat people like you want to be treated. Just fundamental things that should be common sense. But today, and especially this year, people have forgot about, right? Yeah. And so I was very blessed in that way. And then as a teenager, as soon as I could join a gym, I remember I had to drive, you know, 30 minutes one direction to get to the gym and then 40 minutes back the other to go to school. And I work out at 5 o'clock every morning and find ways to get rides to the gym at 13. And I just became the why guy in the gym, like learning more and more about health, how I can help people. Naturally kept trying to coach anybody that would listen. Then when I went to college, I wanted to be a teacher because I had so many great coaches and teachers that helped me believe in me and develop in a way that I didn't think possible. I had so many people that they believed in me so much that it transferred into me believing in myself in a stronger way. And sometimes as leaders, I think that's one of the most powerful gifts we can give somebody, and everybody has this ability out there, to believe in somebody more than they believe in themselves until they see it for themselves. Because sometimes people don't see it right away. No. And as you know, you're excellent at that, or you wouldn't have built such a successful business over the past 16 years. You know the power of that. And so I went to school to be a teacher. And after a couple of years, I started student teaching, where you get your first taste of it in your second year of college. And I'm like, this is all politics. Like, they won't let me teach what should be taught. Like, I wanted the kids, you know, I was in the self-development world. I came across Tony's personal power tapes when I was 17 years old. I started listening to them. And I was like, the only way to be reasonable is completely unreasonable. I was like reciting these to everybody. And I called it, I would Tony everybody, right? Like, why do you do that? You know, what's your reasons? Reasons always come first. And I just listened to all of them. Les Brown, you know, I got exposed. I was so blessed to get exposed to self-development, self-growth, a new way of thinking at a very young age, along with having the fundamentals of the good book and just basic core values to begin with. And I feel so blessed for that. Then after I saw that in the schools, because I wanted the kids to be able to stand on their chairs and say, I'm sexy, smart, and strong. And they're like, you can't do that. Well, you can't do that. Right? Like, and so I'm like, maybe this isn't for me. And I'm like, at the time I was working in a health club and I got hired to do what we called initials. And it was, you'd have five people, you'd have four sessions a night, and you'd take them through what so many people remember as the little Cybex circuit, eight machines, like these eight machines were going to change your life, and all of a sudden all your problems are going to be gone, you were going to be healthy. And I remember they had a problem, you know, filling them up, and it was at America's Fitness. I'll never forget it. And they go, how are you getting everybody to go in these? Well, I wasn't making it about the machines. The machine had instructions on them. I said, hey guys, I'm not here to fix stupid. Like, you guys could go do these eight machines on your own. They got instructions. Like, if you can't figure that out, life's going to get tough. Right? Good luck at your health if you can't figure out these eight machines. And I said, but let's talk about how you're going to change your psychology. What are your beliefs? Mm-hmm. And I put together the tools I was learning in personal development and met people where they were at. Mm-hmm. And I think this is so key. If anybody out there is ever trying to help somebody, we got to meet them where they're at first and then talk to them about where they would like to go. What's in it for them? What do they want? And then help them get where they want to go. And it's like the late great Zig Ziglar said, if you help enough other people get where they want to go, if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll have everything you want. And so, again, I was so blessed to learn this stuff at such a young age, but I got so much repetition by coaching the psychology and mindset of people that they would go, oh my gosh, you got to go take an initial with Luke, because I was getting them to investigate their beliefs, create new ones that empowered them, that would create habits and get them to attach their identity to their habits so it'd be lasting change. Because a lot of people go, oh, I need to work out. Well, you need to, or you're going to decide to? Well, I just don't like working out. If that's your identity, good luck keeping it long-term, right? And so we need to, it's so important as people create the habits, there's so much just, it may sound complicated initially to people, but long-term, as a person dives into just fundamentals of psychology, I believe in keeping things very simple, that if we decide what our identity is and then we build habits, the habits will be shaped by that identity, right? Like if you say, I am an athlete, well, athletes work out. Athletes worry about their nutrition. Athletes get sleep. But if you say, I used to be an athlete, well, now I don't have to work out. And I, you know, I've seen this one so many times. So what I did is I really applied what I was learning in personal development, growth, reading books with people. And I got so much repetition. I was playing football and wrestling in college, and I would literally go to 5 o'clock workout, go to school all day, get done with my 3 p.m. workout at 5:30, and I'd go to America's Fitness and work till 11 o'clock at night, doing 4 to 5 of these initials with 4 to 5 people a day. Because people go, but Luke, where did you develop the certainty? How did you get good at this? Like, you're so gifted. And I get so, my blood pressure just boils when I hear people say you're gifted. All of us are gifted at what we've done thousands of times. Whatever we put the work and the repetition into is what looks like a gift. I've obsessed about this since age 7, right? And so whatever you want to get good at, it just takes focus. You got to be willing to put in the work and get the repetitions. There's no amount of learning that will ever give us what we'll get out of experience of doing. And so that's what I got at that young age and did that. And I fell in love with it. And I go, why am I going to be a teacher? And I switched my major to sport and exercise management, a major in physiology with a minor in business. And then it was also just 3 credits away from psychology because I was on scholarship and I had a 5th year. Then I'm 3 credits away from a psychology degree because I always want to know what drove people. Why did people do what they do? If they did something detrimental to themselves, why would they do that? I wanted to understand that. And that served me so well. And then coming out of college, I got a job in a health club, started off as a trainer. Within a couple months, I was the training manager. A few months later, I was the assistant manager. And then I remember, because I was still wrestling in college, the only job I applied for that I never got was my first job as a general manager of a health club. Mm-hmm. And they go, you're 20 years old. There's no way you can run this multi-million-dollar business. And I said, if you don't hire me for this and you hire this guy with more experience, I will outwork him 10 to 1. It'll be one of the greatest mistakes and I'll have the job eventually long-term anyways. And they hired the guy. It didn't work out. 2 months later, they gave the job to me. And I still remind them of that to this day. But it's just, I cared for people. I think we can figure out so many things right now if people just get out of their way of their head, their opinion, their judgment, and live in their hearts. The head will never have the answer. That we're supposed to do our job by putting good things in it every day so we can live from our hearts. The head's for input, the heart's for output. And I think, you know, we're in a world right now where we see a lot more people living in their head and judgments and opinion instead of living in their hearts and realizing the most natural thing in the human spirit is to love. And that's what brings us together. Fear will divide us. And so I really, from that point on, just cared about people and just tried to help them. I don't have any special tools or skills. I continue to learn and grow and put good things in up here so I can live from here. And I hope that people feel that, because I don't believe, well, I know it's true for me. I don't care what somebody knows till I know they care. And I believe that's true for most people, that I hope as people listen to this, Kimmy, I know it's one of the reasons we connect. It's not what we said to each other. It's not what Katie said, you said, or anybody else that was there said. It's how we felt when we met. Mm-hmm. You'll never remember the exact words I probably say today, but I hope you remember the way you felt listening to this. And then from that point, I went on to create my own health club chain as well. At the age of 26, I bought my first club, grew that to 3 clubs, 3 weight loss centers. I got involved in some chiropractic clinics as well. I exited those businesses. I built a network marketing business as well. I partnered in and out of other companies. And I just enjoy watching people succeed. I love seeing people. There's 3 things that I love looking for in people that I think if anybody's trying to build a great team, a great organization, anything worthwhile, is one of my mentors told me, is these 3 simple things. And it's, you know, you got to have a hunger, you know, like Les Brown says, you got to be hungry, right? And a hunger, a burning desire to succeed. We need to have a willingness to do the work, because I'm not going to sugarcoat it to anybody. Anything worthwhile is going to require a lot of hard work. And sometimes I see, and I think we're all guilty of it at moments, even myself. I may share a great message today, but I want to let everybody know I'm a very imperfect messenger, right? Just because you coach people doesn't mean you do everything right. Sometimes you're coaching what you need to coach yourself. And so, you know, that hunger, that burning desire, that internal need to succeed. And if you want to be happy, you want things to come from internal drive, internal need to succeed, burning desire to succeed, and then the willingness to do the work. And, you know, this is something that, you know, when I grew up, I remember I was always in the principal's office. I figured, why not mow his lawn at age 7? And then I mowed more lawns. And then at 11, I got a job, At 11, I got a job to tasseling, Rogan, rock picking, baling hay in the fields all summer long, right? All my friends were playing, I was working. And then I went on to work on a farm and driving tractors at 14 and shoveling crap and raw silage and pulling weeds. And I look back to that. Now there's so many regulations on what kids can and can't do for work and how little they can. And I don't think that's protecting them in the right way, because that's where I built at that young age, that work ethic.
Yes.
And I saw my dad work so hard. My mom said, get out there and help your dad mow the lawn. Who are you to sit inside when he works all week and he's in here? And I go, Mom, we only got 1 lawnmower. I don't care. Grab a pair of scissors and start cutting the grass. and I'm so grateful for that. Why I share that is I'd really encourage all the parents that hear this to remember this. This is something, I can't remember who first told me this, but the harder we make life to 18 for our kids, the easier it'll be after. The easier we make it to 18, the harder it's going to seem after. Mm-hmm. And I feel so blessed that that's because people go, how do you develop work ethic? You start as young as possible and you do things that aren't easy and you figure out how to enjoy it. Because here's the thing that I think most people think is, oh, love what you do and you'll be successful. Well, you and I both really enjoy what we do for a living. You can tell that's why we're both smiling all the time, right?
Right.
However, there's parts of the businesses we run and the people we have to work with that we don't enjoy. So I'd encourage people to understand that it's not that you're going to love everything you do or you won't be successful, but find what you love in everything you do. Find how to create fun in everything you do. Like I remember when I was mowing lawns, I would cross cut them and want to make them look like a professional baseball field and be proud of it when I was done. I remember when I was washing dishes at Red's Pizza at 13, the cooks would try and burn the pans and stuff. They're like, why are you so happy all the time? Oh, Mr. Fix It, Mr. Coach, you want to coach everybody? You're 13 years old. And they would try and burn the pans. And I'd be like, is that the best you can do is burn the food on the pans? Like, you guys, this is easy. I soak them in that tub. I scrub them in this one. I put them through the dishwasher. Can't you guys give me some more dishes? I got nothing to do over here. And I made it competitive and fun. When you're baling hay, you tried to go faster than your buddy and hit him with the bale. Like, you created fun in the things that were hard. And that was building a muscle to go, how could I find something I love and have fun with everything I do? Because if you're going to be successful, you want to look for something that the majority of what you do, you love. And it's your gift. You feel like you're in the zone when you do it. However, there's going to be a percentage of things that you need to do that you naturally don't love, but you need to find what you love or know what you love so much that you're willing to do those things. Mm-hmm. And as you grow, you delegate more and more, but there's always going to be that percentage. And gosh, I forgot where I was at there. But, you know, I got into the health clubs and it had businesses. And then I was blessed upon, you know, I was speaking
started to a chain.
Big trajectories. And then I'll wrap up and let you take it from there. Sorry, the story's so long, but compressing 42 years of excitement.
This is good because here's the deal. No matter where someone's at, they didn't just show up there. There was a journey beforehand. And I did want to uncover that with you today. I believe more than any product, more than any service, I believe it's our story and us that sells, period.
100%.
You know? I might be selling a product, but I'm really selling me, you know, or selling my strategies or my team mantras and or practices. But yeah, totally. So no, seeing what makes you is a big part of all of us learning to be greater and more successful, win more in life, et cetera. So many things you're saying, I can't wait to tap into, but you started a chain. I mean, keep us going.
Yeah. So I went through a divorce. I exited my businesses and it was interesting, you know, in that divorce, she wanted my businesses because they were my baby. I dreamed about having my own health club since age 7. I started telling people at age 10, they go, yeah, where are you going to get the money to have a business? You realize you need money to do that. And I'm like, no, it does not matter. I know why I want to do it. I'll figure it out. The how doesn't matter if your why is big enough. Mm-hmm. And I remember just reinforcing that. And, you know, and I went to bank after bank after bank with slideshows and everything. I remember meeting with the one bank, Dave, that finally approved me, got to page 11 on the slideshow. He goes, you understand this. You know this. You've been living this. I'll bet on you. And I had my ducks in a row and everything as well, but people care more because you can bring money to a bank with a business plan and lose money really quick. They want to know that you understand and you're being a student of the game and you're self-aware and that you built the skills. See, I went and worked every step of the journey. I started as a trainer. When people go, oh, but did you just fall to making good money? I remember my first job out of college. I'm like, yeah. I went to college for 5 years to take a job as a trainer with a base salary of 13 grand. Are you kidding me? But then that grew quickly because I worked harder. Anywhere I worked, somebody can call Kurt Levine and I cut his lawn when I was 7. Somebody can call Dennis Train at Turning Seeds. Somebody can call Bill and Gloria at Red's Pizza. They can call every place I ever worked.
All right, Luke, we lost you for a minute. You were talking to us about when you went to the bank to get some money. You've got to finish telling us where you were at.
Yeah, I think it's a lesson. And of course, you know this, that banks don't just care about, oh gosh, do you have the money? They want to know that you put in the work to understand the business you're going into. Because in business, you can lose cash quick. You know, you can burn through money very quickly if you don't understand the fundamentals of business in general and in that industry, that sector. And I was willing to learn on somebody else's dime. I'd tell everybody, if you want to go into business, go find some of the best people out there doing it and learn on their dime. Go work for them, even if you're making less money, and learn business, learn the fundamentals, and learn the industry you want to go into. Number one, you need to learn that. But number two is you may go work for somebody else and realize you don't enjoy it as much as you thought you would, right? We can think we're going to enjoy something or something's different than it is until we experience it. So, but the big thing to the bank was I'd been passionate about this since age 7. I told them the story that everybody just heard, and I'd been working in health clubs pretty much from the point I was 15 years old. I was a member of a health club since I was 13. They knew that I did the work in 13 to 20, 26 that most people do between 20 to 45, right? Because it was a passion. It was an obsession. It was putting in the works. So that's what one thing I encourage people, whatever you want to go into, go work for somebody else, even if you got to work for free, to learn what you need to learn to go, is this what I want to go into? And to get the tools and skills. So when you go into business, you have a greater chance of success because you're willing to pay a little bit of the price to get that success. You can't learn that from a book. You need to experience some of those things. Is one of the greatest teachers.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, practice makes perfect.
Did that capture?
You did. Yep. You froze up for a minute, but you came right back. So we're still doing good. Honestly, I always believe that there's something that is really profound when there starts to be like glitches and things are coming at you, right? I mean, there's a word for our listeners here today because something is trying to stop us up right now. Okay, now you still haven't touched base on kind of what you're doing today. Like, you own the chain.
Excellent. So
you got married, you got divorced, she wanted the gyms.
Yep.
I exited
those businesses, and I'll tell you, for all of you out there that go, well, Luke may not understand me. He doesn't know what I'm dealing with. The one thing I'll tell you, I probably failed at as many things as anybody out there. Hmm. And I had a transition point when I went through a divorce where, you know, she wanted the businesses. I didn't want to sit in court for another year. I'm like, have them, you know? And I wasn't going to sit and watch somebody else run my dream. So I moved a little bit out of the area and still close enough to commute and see my daughter regularly. And it really hit me harder than I thought. Even knowing as a coach, I go, okay, I understand the 5 stages of grief. I understand identity. But all of a sudden, there's so much change overnight. Mm. And I'm a big believer in doing the fundamentals. And there's 4 fundamentals that I forgot about that I'll share in a minute that I'll encourage everybody to do for the rest of your life. It is game changing. And you can't argue with fundamentals. Fundamentals win the game in business, in sports, and in life. And oftentimes, we're looking for that shiny penny, that sexy thing, the one thing nobody knows about. But if we get away from the fundamentals, whatever that shiny thing is, it won't matter because everything's built on the foundation, which is the fundamentals. You can build the greatest house you want, but if you don't have a solid foundation, it will fall. And that's what happened. The coach, the energy guy, the go-to guy, Mr. Positive, I quit doing some of the fundamentals because it was in transition that I'd done for over a decade. And I found myself on a birthday when I was 30 or 29. And I was sitting on my balcony overlooking the lake in my boxers on my birthday in tears. And I remember a good friend of mine, Jeff, who also is very successful in network marketing. He called me up and he goes, brother, how are you doing? Happy birthday. He goes, I just had a feeling you could use. Okay. We can talk about persistence and resiliency.
All right, so we're recording, so you can just jump right in and say that because you can just say it, that'll be perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, when things get tough, you don't give up. I think you and I are both relentless enough that it's like, okay, well, you know, we're at a company that has strong internet. Like, this is a internet-based company, and for some reason it was kicking my computer off. We just keep going and trying. And what I think the lesson in this is, Cammie, for everybody watching or listening to this, we came into extreme difficulties. We don't understand it. We just try and solve it. But both of us are still smiling and laughing about it, not getting mad at it, not getting frustrated with it. When you can laugh in the face of adversity, when you can find fun or a way to lighten things up when things get heavier, don't go right, you're going to enjoy the journey a lot more, because there's going to be a lot more challenges and a lot more heartaches than there will be victories. And I think, you know, that's a point that we'll touch on in a little bit, but we need to enjoy the journey. You know, we all hear life is a journey, but we all think we can't celebrate and enjoy till we hit the destination. And a lot of people right now around the world are hard on themselves. And naturally, achievers and leaders can get beating themselves up, thinking they're not doing enough. Somebody else did more. Now in the world of comparison and social media, instead of just, hey, this is my journey, and you go with the flow and you have fun with what comes on. And you just, you know, I always say, you know, stay flexible, adapt, adjust, and continue to take action. And so I think there's a good lesson in this cutting out, as, and I'm sure you'll do an amazing job of editing it, but I think some of it we shouldn't edit out. We should let people know that, you know, sometimes things aren't going to go perfect. You just adapt, adjust, and keep moving. You just keep going forward.
It's funny you say that, because so true. And so I think grit level is talked about very little in the business world, which I think all these challenges, losses, failures, that's what builds your grit level. I had a real doozy the last 5 weeks, and I had a hard time finding the fun, the laughter, or anything to smile about with it. And yet I think the thing I turned to after I was like, okay, this is actually ticking me off. It made me cry a couple times. I thought, what am I supposed to learn in this? What is the learn in this that I'm not getting? Maybe it's the reason I'm stuck here is because I'm thick-headed enough sometimes to take too long to learn a lesson. But, oh gosh, you're so right. And yet everything you're talking about is so worth. I want every one of my listeners to hear everything you've said. And you were just talking about being on your balcony, and it was your birthday. You were crying. You called your friend who's also in network marketing. What did he tell you, Luke?
Yeah. And you know, he created multiple businesses in addition, but he's one of the biggest network marketers in the world. And he said, brother, you got to remember who you are. Mm. And he goes, he listened first, but then he goes, you got to get back to reminding yourself who you are. You are not this situation. This may seem permanent, but it's very temporary. And he goes, you got to get back to doing what you do. And it was so interesting, the timing of that call. And what I had gotten away from is doing my what I call the fundamental four, reminding yourself every day, multiple times, who you are. What are the words that you put behind I am, and say them with emotion and feeling consistently and daily. So you don't care what others think. You don't care what others say, because you're clear on who you are. So the first one is I am. I am what? What is your identity? Who are you? Two, what are you about? What matters to you? What are you about? If I were to ask you what you're about, what would be those three or four sentences you would tell me, or those three or four statements you would give me? Three, what's your vision? What do you want? See, without vision, people perish. We all hear it. But when I ask people what their vision is, a lot of times I get a blank stare. And at that point, I lost my vision. Mm-hmm. I was questioning what I was about. Because there's so much change.
Right.
And the fourth is, why is that important to you? And here's why I quit doing it. Because I questioned what all four of them were. And chances are there's some listeners out there that you might have a transition in your life, a job loss, a loss of a loved one, a divorce, a breakup, lose your business. Right now, a lot of people are getting hit with things that we couldn't foresee, a world shutdown. And you're probably going through a transition, and learn from my mistake instead of having to make it yourself within those transitions to go, you know what? I need to update my identity. I need to update what I'm about. I need to update my vision. I need to update what are my reasons? What's my why? Why do I do what I do? Because oftentimes we all have one of these. They're a great tool if you use them, instead of being used by them. Everybody's got a phone, but are you using it as a resource and a tool, or is it using you? And if you don't update your phone, it slows down. If you don't update it over a couple months, it quits working. And I think one of the key things is the world's changing right now. The one thing that's inevitable, some people go, oh, I don't like change. Well, you better find another planet to live on, because it's the only thing that's constant is change. Mm-hmm. And the world is going to change faster than you can imagine in the next decade, on top of the problems we're already going to deal with a world shutdown. So it's a time for all of us to investigate who we are. What are we about? What is our vision? And why is that important to us? To go to work on going, are we updating that on a regular basis, especially in transition? Because otherwise we kind of lose sight of who we are, what life is about. You'll find yourself, you don't want to find yourself crying on the balcony on your birthday, wondering what's the point of life, thinking thoughts you never thought you'd say. But I'm so grateful for that moment. You know, sometimes it's so easy. I've had so many points in my life that were tough. Like, I can almost drop into tears at the amount of moments. We all have them. That's what makes us human. But we grow most from the challenges, from the things we didn't think we wanted. We grow most. We grow most from the challenges, the losses, or the learnings, not the victories. Because when things don't work out, we ponder. When things do work out, we celebrate. Mm-hmm. And because of that day, I went back to work and I'm like, I will never drop the fundamentals again. Mm. And I got clear on who I am, what I'm about, what my vision is, and why that's important to me. And every day since then, and I've updated it multiple times, but there's never a day, and I have multiple I ams, but I have my foundational five, and I just updated a fifth one again. I dropped one off. I go, no, I need to bring back this side a little bit more. And every day I say, I am love. I am passion. I'm blessed. I'm relentless. And I'm playful. And to show how I updated those, I used to have passion first, but I get so excited, I'd scare people. Love is the connector. So I just moved love from 2 to 1. Recently, I used to have as my number five, I am a gladiator. There's a little F word in there because it gave it a little more juice. But I go, I've said that enough. I know I'm a gladiator. I've showed myself that over and over that I'll fight through. So that's ingrained in me. But you know what? I need to bring back my playful side a little more. My mischievous, like Dennis the Menace side, as my wife would call it. And making sure that I'm having fun and being playful with everything. So I added in as my fifth now, I am playful. I know what I'm about. I'm about helping people get from where they are to where they want to be. Right. About helping people deliver results in their life that they don't think possible. About truly loving, caring, and serving others on a daily basis. I know what my vision is. To create tools systematically that can help change people's lives for the better all over the globe with the technology we have today. By caring more than others. I know why I do it. Because there's an internal need to succeed. I never forgot the day I felt when I lost my grandfather. And I hate seeing people suffer. So I love to help them. That's why I do it. And see, and nowhere in there was it, I got to achieve this or hit this or have the money. And those things are good. Don't have goals. I celebrate and do things. But it's that internal drive. People go, Luke, how do you keep going? It's getting clear on those four things where when you say them, hopefully you can feel how much they mean to me.
Luke, from the,
don't, you know, look outside for your drive, look inside and it'll never end. But you got to keep doing the work. Like even for me, you have that life change and I quit looking inside regularly because at that point, to be brutally honest, it hurt to look inside. Going, who am I? I don't know. I had this incredible business. Now I got a lot of money in the bank. And I went from a town where I was on every board, everybody knew my name. Now I'm in a town, nobody knows my name. Do I really matter? Am I really important? A lot of people out there could probably relate to this. It transitions in your life. And I thought, don't have a vision. I had everything I dreamed of as a kid. Growing up without money, I had all this money. Didn't matter. Money won't make us happy. Being clear on who you are, being unclear on what you're about, being clear with a vision that excites you to get up every morning and makes it hard to go to bed, and knowing why you do what you do, and having contentment in that, certainty in that, centeredness in that, that's where I think the happiness of the world will get better. not in the comparison, looking at everybody else online, thinking they're fitter, healthier, richer, and happier than you, because online isn't real life. And I made the mistake of up until 30 to be successful, because I thought, oh gosh, if I do this, achieve this, get this, get that. Has anybody else ever out there thought of that? Then I'll be happy. And then you get there and you go, that's it. And from that time, it's going, am I happy? Am I doing things that matter? Am I content with who I am, what I'm about, what my vision is, and why it's important to me? And some people go, but yeah, how do you stay out of comparison? You remind yourself that every day. And it never stops, because the world's going to try and influence and tell you who you should be. And here's one statement, and I'll be real strong with it, because I see it hurt so many people, even very sophisticated clients, very successful clients I work with in many ways, is care about others. Truly care about others, love and care about others, but don't give a shit about what they think. That's not of your making. Don't sign up for that class. That's what gets us to question who we are. But see, if you do the work every day, you're content with who you are. You're content with what you're about. You're content with your vision. And you're content knowing why you do what you do. And you got to remind yourself every day, otherwise you forget. Even I did. But that was the greatest gift, to have that pain in that time. And it was painful for a while. Any of you that gone through a major transition. But it was worth it, because I'll never set down.
You're fine. This is actually one of the most interesting podcasts you have to unmute yourself, but it's one of the most interesting podcasts I've ever walked through with the challenges. But man, Luke, you are lighting it up. You're lighting it up.
Because I was going to say, we can definitely, re-record this too. I feel terrible. I don't have control over the internet here. And, I've locked into my phone now, and I don't know if that signal will be better, but, I figured we'll just try it, because this other one is not working. And to keep trying to do the same thing with the same result is insanity, right? So we'll try something new and hopefully that works. Well, and that's a lesson for everybody. Keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result is not a good strategy.
100%. Well, you were just sharing with us how hard the divorce was, but what the big learning that happened through that process. And, that was one of the things that really connected me with you at the Ritz that day, Luke, was just seeing your success, obviously being a little bit FOMO about your relationship with Tony Robbins, and that you get to work with him. And that's pretty spectacular. But also when you shared, you were very just candid with the divorce that you had gone through and how it impacted you personally and professionally. And, my divorce was final at the end of 2017, and yet it started at the beginning of 2016. So it was long and grueling, and yet it's still grueling. And I would be lying if I told you guys that I'd worked it all out, but I will say I'm so much better today, and I'm learning I'm learning a lot of lessons, and I know I'm not even fully through all the things I probably have to learn, So I'm really glad you brought that up, because early on in our thing, I thought, were you always just born with that much confidence? Or, and obviously you're sharing some of the reasons why, but you've also shared that it's not always been like that. You've been rocked. And I would agree. Mm-hmm. It's through seasons of transition that are never fun, never easy. But I don't know that I've ever heard somebody talk about those four fundamentals. It's not something I use in my life. It's something I will absolutely implement before I go to bed tonight. Hands down.
Awesome.
Okay, I got to tell you about something I read in my devotional this morning. And one of the times we fell off, I ran into my room to grab this, because I honestly never heard this. I'd never heard this verse in the Bible. And it's funny, when you've been reading the good book your whole life, how all of a sudden there's a verse that you're like, how come I've never read that? And it says that it's talking about Daniel, like Daniel in the lion's den. Mm-hmm. Many of you may not know the background about Daniel, but obviously he ended up becoming a very high ranking official in their government system. But listen to this, it says in Daniel 6:3 that Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and all the officials because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. Listen, it didn't say God distinguished him. It said he distinguished him. He put in the work. He did the repetition. I mean, that's what you've been talking about all day, Luke, is, you know, that we're not saying that every single one of us doesn't have unique gifts and talents, because we do, right? That's why we use belief transfer, to help people see why they're gifted and what makes them so special, because they don't even see it in themselves yet. But I also see faith without works is dead, right? Like, we can want all the 100%. Things, but if we're not willing to put in the work, and I mean, I'd never heard that about Daniel. It doesn't say God distinguished him. He set him apart. He was highly favored because of God. It says he distinguished himself. He did the things that nobody else was willing to do so that he could have what he wanted to have and what others maybe were never going to get to have. And I know we've heard that in other ways, but I love hearing that sometimes from stories in the Bible, because it just, to me, goes, So there is effort that we have to put in. It doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't just something you're born as a baby with, you know. There's people here right now going, Cammie, Luke, you're where you're at because you were born so gifted and favored.
I tell people to talk to my childhood friends.
Well, I know we could talk for a ton more hours, but knowing our time is ending here real soon, anything else that you would like to share about your life, some of the greatest lessons you've learned or some of the greatest setbacks you've had that you want to talk to us about in closing today?
Yeah, I think a lot of times we see something in somebody else and we think, oh, they've got this, they had this. We come up with a story, and the story we tell ourselves over and over is the one we'll believe. And we all get to be the narrator of our lives. Meaning, whatever story you had up to today, you can decide if that story changes today. Whatever identity you had up to today, you get to decide if you want to change that identity. Because you can create a disempowering belief pattern, a disempowering story, a disempowering identity, or you can create an empowering one, one that juices you. Nobody's going to change that for you. Not God, not even God. You got to do the work, right? Is like what you just said, Cammie, about talent. You know, I'm sure people have told you, well, Cammie, you're just so good at it. That's because she's done it thousands of times. See, we make our decisions. That's what defines us. And a lot of times people want something. I hear people go, oh, I really want to do this. I ask them, have you decided? Have you truly decided, or do you just want it? Because wanting it won't be enough. You need to decide that you're willing to do it when it's easy and when it's hard, and understand there's going to be a lot more hard before it gets easy. Anything worth doing, you're going to fail multiple times. I'm writing a book, My Epic Fails, sharing all my failures and having people submit their failures, because in the world, we all read the success books. The only thing successful people have in common is they stand on a mountain of failures. You're going to fail at least 10 times greater than you succeed. Minimally, maybe 100 to 1. I don't know what the odds are, what it is, but I can tell you I've had way more failures than successes. And the key is, do you want what you're after bad enough? Have you decided that you're not going to negotiate with the outcome, that you're going to keep going till it works out? Because here's the thing. Think of anybody you admire in sport, in business, in network marketing. And when I say network marketing, it's because I know we got a lot of network marketing listeners. But I hate to tell you, you have a business. Treat it like one, you'll have one. Treat it like a hobby, you'll have a hobby. Some people get a traditional brick and mortar business and they treat it like a hobby. And believe me, it doesn't take long for them to lose it. And it's no different in network marketing. Treat it like a hobby and fill yourself with excuses, you'll have a hobby income. You treat it like a business and tear up your excuses and take extreme ownership. Go get a book by Jocko Willink, Extreme Ownership. Take ownership. It's not your upline. It's not your downline. It's not your mom. It's not your childhood. It's not your dad. It's not your brother. It's not your sister. It's not your ex-wife, your ex-husband, your ex-boyfriend. It's you. The only person that can change our situation is ourselves. The number one person that gets in our way is ourselves. With those fundamental four, how we identify ourselves, what we think we're about or we haven't defined. Creating a compelling vision that we're excited about, not somebody else. What matters to you? And why is that important to you? Those fundamental four are so important in leading yourself. And once you can lead yourself, then you can move on to the next level of leading someone else or a small team. Mm-hmm. But we've got to decide. And the one word I would tell you to remember is decide. Mm-hmm. Maybe today's the day you decide that I'm going for it. You know what? Maybe I'll lie dead on the side, or maybe I'll get to the top. But those are my two options. I'm going for it. Understanding there's going to be speed bumps. There's going to be roadblocks. You're going to have to drive through them. There's going to be maybe some brick walls you might have to climb, knock down, go get a bulldozer, whatever you need to do. There's going to be moments you're going to want to quit. What will separate you from your, what will separate you and you and your greatness is be willing to go through all of it and know that it's worth it. It won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Don't want it. Decide to go get it. Whatever it is for you in life. Not somebody else's dream. What do you really want? And decide. Make the decision. Cut off the possibility of quitting, of going back, of only doing it for a short while. And go do it. And realize that everybody goes at a different speed. And that's the hard thing for people nowadays. They see somebody else succeed and they go, oh, how did they do it? Oh, somebody became a billionaire overnight. Oh, they became a billionaire when they were 52. Did you know they went bankrupt four times? Or, right. Oh, their business exploded in their eighth year. Like, you know, it takes time. Trust in the process, but be fine with where you are is exactly where you need to be. Mm-hmm. As you make that decision, don't make where you're at wrong. That will prevent you from taking the action you need to take. Decide that wherever you are in life is exactly where you need to be. When you wake up tomorrow, wherever you're at is exactly where you need to be because you were put there for a reason. There's something much bigger than us controlling all of this. But then you need to make the decision what you're going to do about where you are now to where you're deciding to go. Mm-hmm. And why I say decide, everybody wants a better life. Few decide to go get it. Everybody wants a better relationship. Few decide to put in the work. Everybody wants to be more confident, have more self-esteem. Few decide to do the few simple disciplines to do the work, because doing what you thought you couldn't do consistently, doing what's hard daily, is what will build your self-esteem and confidence. And that takes time. The person here today is because of the stuff I started doing at an early age. And if you started later, you just got to put in more repetitions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But nothing will replace that. So my wish, my hope, my dream for all of you, and Kimmy, I'd be more than willing to do this again or try and clean it up so it's a little bit shorter, but I think there were a lot of gifts in the things and the challenges that we dealt with today with technology, that my wish, my hope, my dream for all of you is decide today that you're going to get clear on your fundamental four. Mm-hmm. And decide what you want out of life and go after it with everything you got. Because you got everything you need. You don't need to go learn something. You're going to learn and grow along the way. And what I mean by that is I'm going to give you a few words in order that you should do them. Right now, everybody thinks they got to learn. They got to go get the degree, the certification. They don't have enough. They haven't learned enough. They don't have this. They don't have that. Be you. Live. Go do stuff. Mess some stuff up. Let things get messy because that's the way life is. So be you. Live. Learn from your experience, learn from your wins, learn from your losses, learn from your challenges, learn from adversity, learn from books, learn from audios, learn from podcasts, learn from your upline, your downline, your sideline, your kids, your grandmother, your sister. Learn, grow from it. Because if you're being, living, and learning, and you're not growing, you're missing the point. We need to use those things to grow into an updated version of ourselves, not making the old version wrong. We're evolving and growing on a daily basis. Next, celebrate. It's all too often we forget to celebrate. And you notice I'm not saying celebrate the achievements. Celebrate the journey, because you're going to spend more time in the journey than reaching the achievement. The achievement's a moment in time. When you get that goal, it's a moment. You get there and you go, is that it? And a lot of people go, what's next, with forgetting to celebrate. So celebrate every day. Nobody on this podcast would give up tomorrow for $1 million. So it's a $1 million day, people. You can smile about that shit. It's a $1 million day. There's some people that didn't wake up today. So celebrate the journey. Celebrate every day. Celebrate every moment. Anybody can celebrate the wins. Who can celebrate the challenges? Who can smile when things are going wrong? Because you're going to be able to find the solution much better in a greater state. And as you celebrate, enjoy. Enjoy it. It's your life. The chances of you being here are trillions to one. So enjoy it. Be you. Live. Do stuff. Go do it. Don't wait. Learn along the way from every aspect, especially experience in your failures. Especially experience in your failures. I want to make sure you hear that. That's where you're going to learn the most. So don't make them wrong. Don't think that that's not supposed to be, because that's the most important part for you to grow faster. And then grow. Celebrate. And most of all, enjoy life. I love you all. I appreciate you all. Cami, thank you for having me on. I look forward to doing this more in the future, staying in touch, pushing and challenging each other to make a larger impact on in every way we can to help people, especially in this unprecedented year, to step forward into their greatest version of themselves and to live the best life possible.
I love that, Luke. We are more aligned than I even knew. And today was more of a gift to me than I even realized. Maybe today was just for me. So all the glitches, I mean, we're going to have an awesome podcast, glitches included, because I think that's part of today's story. But I'm really looking forward to spending more time with you and Katie both.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Cami. We look forward to it as well. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for everybody out there listening.